Glad to worship with you on this Good Friday. I'll be preaching again today from my office. The next time I preach in the sanctuary will be when all of us can gather together to worship, and look forward to that day. Glad you're with us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In the 2015 documentary called De Palma, legendary Hollywood film director Brian De Palma discusses his decades of work as a Hollywood director. He's directed many classic, very gritty films that many of you have seen. Carrie from 1976, Mission Impossible from 1996, my favorite, The Untouchables from 1987. And a free piece of trivia for you that I'm not even going to charge you for. Brian De Palma also directed the music video for Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen from 1984, which is the boss singing on stage, lip-syncing, of course, to Dancing in the Dark. And at the end of the video, a young lady is invited from the audience to come dance on the stage, and it was the big break for none other than Courtney Cox. I'm not even going to charge you for that. But at the end of this documentary about Brian De Palma, the legendary director says this, something very vulnerable, very incisive. The thing about making movies is that every mistake you made is up there on the big screen. Everything you didn't solve, every shortcut you took, you will look at it the rest of your life. It's like a record of things you did not finish. I've never thought of movies that way, but I'll take the perspective of a legendary film director. And in your own life, which I hope has not been as gritty as the Brian De Palma film, although for some of you, parts of your life have been. In your own life, you have your own mistakes. You have your own things that you did not solve. You have your own shortcuts that you have taken that actually made things harder than you thought. And you have your own records of things that you have not finished. And while all these things are not projected on a movie screen in a theater, they are projected on the movie screen of your heart and your mind. And whether you want to admit it or not, you will occasionally look at these things for the rest of your life. But on Good Friday, when Jesus' passion and death made a Brian De Palma film look like a Disney animated family feature, our Savior did not make any mistakes. Our Savior did not leave anything undone. Our Savior did not take any shortcuts. He left nothing unfinished. He left nothing unsolved. Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, the Savior and Redeemer of you, was born to die. He came to earth to die. And in the two historic creeds that we use most often in our worship, both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, we move directly, without pass and go, without collecting $200, we go directly from Jesus' birth to his death. The Apostles' Creed, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. In the Nicene Creed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Again, immediately from birth to death. In the account of Jesus' passion in the Gospel according to John, which we read every single year on Good Friday, builds up to Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." These words clearly demonstrate that Jesus completed everything he needed to for your salvation, that Jesus did not make any mistakes, that when it comes to your salvation, Jesus left nothing unsolved. Jesus did not take any shortcuts. In fact, Jesus took every mistake that you've made, that I've made, which are myriad. Jesus has taken everything in our lives that we've been unable to solve, every shortcut that we have taken, all the things that we have not finished, all of it upon himself. And it's not up there on a movie screen, it's up there on the cross. Scripture puts it this way. In Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. It is finished. That's the gospel. Now, in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, there's a section that's often overlooked. It's never one of the parts of the prayer book in the pews that has been read many times. You can usually still hear the binding crack when you open to this section in the back. It's called Historical Documents of the Church. And in the section Historical Documents of the Church, there's a part of it called the Articles of Religion, also known as the 39 Articles. These articles were completed in the late 16th century as the forms of summarizing the doctrine of the Anglican Church. It was during the reign of Elizabeth I. I'm not going to charge you for that either. And Article 31 of these Articles of Religion talk about the impact of Jesus' words, "It is finished." And listen to this. "The offering of Christ once made is that perfect," meaning complete, "perfect redemption, propitiation, and satisfaction for all the sins of the whole world, both actual and original. And there is none other satisfaction for sin but that alone." In other words, as we confess every week, all the sins that you've done and left undone, that you've committed and omitted, all the things that you've done wrong in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, all of it has been atoned for. As Jesus said, "It is finished." And when it comes to your salvation, you do not have the final word. The final word belongs to Jesus, and his word is, "It is finished." And this is something that we need to be reminded of again and again, in the same way that we need to be reminded that we are loved again and again. I mean, think about the personal relationships in your life, the people that say, "I love you," hopefully on a regular basis. When they tell you, "I love you," do you ever say, "Well, you've already told me that. I don't need you to keep reminding me"? Well, no, because we're all black holes of need, and we all need to be told again and again by those that we love and that love us. We need to hear it. "I love you." And when it comes to the gospel, we need to be reminded again and again that God loves us and that our sins have been atoned for. That, as Jesus said, "It is finished." It's kind of like shopping at the dollar store, where every single item in the entire store, every single day, is always $1. And yet at the dollar store, there'll always be at least one customer while you're there who has a price check, who asks, "How much is this?" "It's $1. "Okay, just double checking." And it's that way with the gospel. How much do you need to add to what Jesus has already done for you on the cross? Nothing. Not that you could anyway, or that I could. But you don't have to add anything, because again, as Jesus said, "It is finished." You can ask again tomorrow morning, "Lord, is there anything else I need to do?" No, it is finished. It is finished. One of the best theological books I've ever read, one I've referred to many times here at Christ Church, is Grace and Practice by our friend Paul Zoll. And in one of the many high water marks of this amazing book, he brilliantly unpacks Jesus' final words, "It is finished." Listen to these words from Paul Zoll. "The atonement of Christ puts all human crime and punishment on a bigger stage. The judge is the same, God. The offender is everybody, for everybody is capable of a crime that destroys other lives. Most people, at least once in their life, have hurt another person in a ripping, incisive way. There is a big condition of the earth to be engaged here. The guilt is widespread. It extends from the outward acts of the self to the inward thoughts of the self. The guilt is so omnipresent that only a vast event could absorb it all. And then Paul Zoll talks about this vast event, Jesus' death on the cross. The atonement of Christ is the death of an innocent man in the place of every guilty man and woman. That's you and me. It is representative, as his death represents the death of every single guilty human person. It is vicarious because it is in their place. Jesus dies vicariously so that each of them will not have to die for the sin they inherently and historically bear. It is substitutionary because he actually takes on their identity. Jesus is an identity thief in the fructifying sense that their old identity as a sinner transfers to him, and his identity as the perfect one for others goes to them. It is an exchange. It is one-way exchange because as God, God alone can make this happen. I wish for it, but I could never bring it off. It is the one-way love of grace. What a beautiful phrase. The one-way love of grace. And that's what Good Friday is all about. Jesus' death on the cross, you see, is the ultimate proof of God's love for you, God's one-way love of grace for you and for the whole world, for everyone, no exceptions. In the same John who recorded Jesus' final words as "it is finished" was the only one of the 12 disciples who was actually at the foot of the cross. In the same John, many years later, put it this way in his first letter. If anyone does sin, which is all of us, we have, present tense, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It is finished. John saw it. John heard it. John wrote it down. John was literally an eyewitness and an ear witness of this vast event. One of my favorite gospel singers is the incomparable Mavis Staples. I encourage you today to take a few minutes and get some Mavis Staples time on YouTube. She's unbelievable. And she sings about this comprehensive nature of God's one-way love of grace in a gorgeous song called "In Christ There Is No East or West." In Christ there is no east or west, no north or south, only one great love inside and out. True hearts everywhere, some deaf and some blind, singing one melody lost souls cannot find. So join hands and have faith, whatever your race may be. Who serves my Father is a child, surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west. There is no black or white, only one great love, hatred cannot divide. Join hands and have faith, forgive your enemy. Surely we're all a part of one big family. And you are part of this one big family, which points us back to the moving collect that we prayed at the beginning of this service, a collect we pray every year on Good Friday. Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross. Jesus' words, "it is finished," is for the one big family of the whole world and for you. One more brief illustration and then I'll close. One of my favorite places in the whole world is the pier at Santa Monica, California. I've been there several times over the years. The first time as a 15-year-old kid, I went there again when I was 17. Got there once in my 30s, once in my 40s. I got there last summer. And I just love the Santa Monica Pier. The scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest is running back and forth across the United States, there's a little clip where he runs to the end of the Santa Monica Pier. And the Santa Monica Pier marks the end of the most famous highway of the United States, U.S. Route 66, the mother road of America, that runs from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to Santa Monica, California, for 2,448 miles. One of these days, I hope to drive U.S. Route 66 in its entirety. And when you get to the Santa Monica Pier, there's a sign right there on the pier that says this: Santa Monica, 66, end of the trail. And this end of the trail, this end of U.S. Route 66, is literally at the Pacific Ocean, the largest ocean in the world. And when it comes to your salvation, at the end of the Route 66 of your life, through all of its twists and turns, through all of its different kinds of terrain, through all the things that you have not solved, all the things that you have done wrong, all the parts of the film of your life that you wish were cut and edited and left on the floor, Jesus has atoned for all of it. There's a different sign at the end of this Route 66 of your life. It's the cross. And it reads, "It is finished." And the ocean on the other side of this sign is an ocean infinitely larger than the Pacific Ocean, the ocean of God's one-way love of grace. And all your sins are at the bottom of that ocean. It is finished. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.